If you told Dr. Evil that there would be such a virus pandemic that would put the entire world to quarantine standside, and that governments around the world would be having to give out trillions of dollars just to keep things running, and he wouldn't have to do anything, he would be so pissed. Because the governments are giving out all this money just to like make sure like we all don't fall apart. Meanwhile, like, you know, Dr. Evil had to put all this laser blowing up the planet. He had to put all this in motion to get some billions. He probably could have made a better virus scheme and gotten trillions. All right, and on that, you can start the episode.
I like it. He could have, like, made out like a bandit.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, welcome back to The Minute Who Shagged Me, where we go through the Austin Powers movies 1 minute at a time, continuing with The Spy Who Shagged Me. I'm Johnny. It's been a while, but I'm back with the reigning champion of guests, and he is...
It's me, Dave Powell, over at 5 Minutes of Mystery.
Welcome back. You're like back-to-back weeks. It's like now you're like a title holder.
Yeah, that, and it's also been a good year and change.
It's
fine. Here we are. And yeah.
I went back in time.
Still this moon. We're still eating astronaut ice cream,
yes,
on the moon.
That vending machine is endless.
Got so many in there.
Well, the minute begins with basically Austin saying the tail end of, "Now I'm going to kill you," to Dr. Evil, who is cowering in his sweet ass spacesuit.
Oh yeah, well, they both got some sweet suits, respectively. You know, between his blue, Iron Jack jumpsuit, and then yeah, Dr. Evil's spacesuit with. He's gonna break that switch. Like going over these minutes and then going over our past minutes, I was like, he really is gonna break that switch doing this little bit over and over again, like trying to say battery, I guess, on his radio.
You just toggle it. You just gotta toggle.
Oh yeah, yeah, toggle, yeah, a little button, yeah, a little press a little rubber button down or something. And now we notice that he clearly spent money to put a voice box in there to do a Vader impression.
He was waiting for that moment.
Well, I'm guessing this, and related to what he's about to say, is all stall tactic, because he knows Frau's, like, she's still in her prop, like, waking up from her, like, laser firing booth. So he's like, oh, I just gotta, like, you know, kill a few minutes doing the vamping before Frau comes over here and kills Austin.
But, like...
Because, I mean, really, he put Austin in a position where he's like, I've killed your girlfriend. I'm threatening the world, and you know you got it's personal. So you know, your wife, I switched out with a fembot. So you know, really, Austin's got every right to just blast him right here. Like, I don't think anyone's gonna mind if he came back to the United States or even United Nations or you know wherever, and just been like, oh, Dr. Evil got his butt blown in half up in the moon. They're like, oh, all right. Like, then no one's gonna worry.
I guess my question is...
This is 60s America, too. So it's like, yeah. It's the middle of Cold War. So they're like, oh, okay, great. We can just worry about the Russians now. We don't have to worry about, like, a third guy.
I guess that leaves two questions, then. So the first question I have is, you paid so much money to put a Darth Vader voice box in your spacesuit, why couldn't you make your spacesuit bulletproof?
I'm trying to think. Maybe he, like, he did the cost effective. He, like, looked at, like, body armor. He's like, all right, but I can't move well in that. Because was it the first movie? Or is it this movie where he rolled around? Is that in this one where he rolls around in his own suit because he just, like, couldn't move? Or is it the first one?
I think that was the first one. He had the Dr. No headset on. Yeah.
I think that may have been the first one.
I think it was the first
one. Where he couldn't move the gloves and he was like rolling around and stuff. And he was like, so he probably doesn't like want any more encumbrance as there already is. And then he probably was like, oh, I can easily put a voice box in here. And then he was probably having more fun with Mini-Me because maybe like he wanted to do a voice box because Mini-Me could easily do the deep voice. So now he's like, well, I want one. I want a deep voice box. I want to impress number okay. two.
That's fair. Second question. He could have teamed up with Russia.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't... outside of that Russian assassin in the beginning of this film in modern day, I don't think we even talk about Russia
Mm-mm.
in this film. Which is funny. You would think that, like, Russia would probably be pissed off that, like, wait a second. Whoa, you're going to blow up the whole planet. We're on this planet. And, like, it would cause, like, a Soviet-United States, like, uneasy alliance. Where they're, like, they're both, like... maybe it's best if we both like set up like a couple Scud missiles and missiles and nukes and just blow up the moon. Maybe it's better off we just get Dr. Evil out of the way.
Yeah, so maybe that's probably the best that he could have gotten. It would have backfired.
Oh yeah, he would have united every superpower of the Cold War against him. He's lucky that only Austin came up to kill him because you had so many more people could have. Keep up and kill. And like you said, the laser is off, you know. What's funny is that, like, you know, Frau didn't reset the laser. She got kicked, the laser fired, and they're just like, that's it. We got one shot. They didn't, like, at no point did Frau, like, wake up and go, I still got time. I can readjust this laser.
It's a one pump chump laser.
Oh, yeah. He put all the money into one. He just bought a couple AA batteries, and they just have, like, one charge in them.
Yep. And then you can't get. Any more batteries on the moon. That was it. They blew their budget.
Yeah. Because, yeah, you put so many batteries, they still, you know, you can't fly batteries because they, like, an atmosphere, they blow up or whatever it was, whatever it is, like lithium ion batteries. So, yeah, you really get so many batteries up there because they're heavy. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You have one fire, one laser. and here it gets me is that, you know, he stalled tactics for Frau, and Frau had a good shot of, like, back of Austin's head, the Austin's spine, anywhere, his shoulder, and she goes for like the gun, which is like close and like could accidentally hit Dr. Evil in the arm. Like that's how close, you know, of her shots would be if she messed up. And then, you know, after the gun fires, you know, Austin runs and Dr. Evil, you know, he's laughing, but like he told Austin about, he's excited, but he told them about the time machine. Like, why would you give, you know, because we talked about with Doug the other week, where it goes like, we forgot about the time machine for a little bit. We got so caught up in the laser, we forgot there's a time machine.
But he has to explain.
Dr. Evil, so evil that he screwed his own plan up? to Did do this. He doesn't want, why would he want Austin to come back, stop the laser, save the girl, and possibly, you know, shoot and arrest him in the past.
But end game, you rip a hole in the space-time continuum.
But this movie, we got lucky, and they didn't. At most, Austin was going cross-eyed thinking about it. Like, we lucked out.
Because,
and if anything, this is, if you will, this is, what would you call this? This would be almost like the end of, Dr. Evil A, because all right, I had this thing talking about. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole again because I was thinking about like a long time ago during Back to the Future minute, thinking about the different Martys and doctors, Doc Browns, because of the time travel, because mm-hmm. of who knows what and stuff. And essentially, like what I was getting at is at the beginning of Back to the Future Part One, before they even see the time machine, Marty A, Doc Brown A, then. Doc Brown gets shot. Marty goes back in time. He's still Marty A. We're following Marty A's perspective this entire time. He meets Doc Brown A, and then until he essentially, then he tells him about the time machine, and like essentially tells him that you're going to get shot and this and that. I would say this then becomes Doc Brown B because he's been affected into a different timeline now. He was doing his one path. Then Marty comes along and gives him more advice, tells him the time machine works, tells him he's going to get shot. This is now Doc Brown B. So Doc Brown A is technically dead. And then when we go back at the end of the movie, Marty comes back through the time machine, sees a different Marty. I would call that Marty, Marty B. He goes over. That's Doc Brown B. Doc Brown says, hey, I have a body armor and I'm alive. End of film. And my biggest hang up essentially in that entire film was like, and I think some other blogs have talked about this, is Marty B is not Marty A, because Marty B grew up in a household that the parents are not buttheads. His brothers and sisters are like successful business people. The family has got good money. They should even be in that house, probably. They should probably be in a nicer house with how well they're doing. The fact that all four of them are like successful in that house, they probably should have a bigger house. But anyway, the fact that, like, essentially Marty B, if you will, had a silver spoon. That's how much time changed because he affected his father. So it's the same thing. There's probably his father, A timeline, B timeline, all that. Just, you know, all the timelines affected. So I'm trying to wrap this up, you know, for people. If you haven't watched Back to the Future, man, it's a great podcast. is that kind of essentially we're seeing the end of this Dr. Evil, if you will, because we're going to see Dr. Evil again in the past, but he'll be affected by Austin. And then we have an Austin B, technically, who's now influenced by the Austin Powers in the future coming back to tell him how we're going to save the world. I don't know. I think it's...
I'm creating a flowchart.
Or flowchart. I know. I'm going cross-eyed. Because, so,
like, I have...
You know, it's our first, yeah.
Dr. Evil A, Austin A. Then when he goes back in time in the next minute, we'll talk about that. I have Dr. Evil B, Austin A, and Austin B, because they're both present. Yeah. And then we have to start filtering it out. So at the end, we'll figure out who is left.
Yeah. I mean, essentially that
lettered Austin.
This is timeline A that we're at the end of. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to continue into timeline B, which is what if Austin does save the world and gets the girl and stops Dr. Evil's plan.
It's a whole lot to do.
So, you know, to say it lightly, good job! Good job!
What?
That's from an 82.
Oh my goodness. Well, I feel like, I know we talked about it, about being expensive and that he put it in the suit, but we totally glazed over the Star Wars reference.
True. All right, so yeah, got back to future reference out of the way. Let's go back to Star Wars.
We got to hit the highlights of the community.
Well, yeah. You would think Austin probably would have like watched this at some point. I guess he was too busy to actually watch movies. He was probably watching documentaries in the first film. So he probably was watching Berlin Fall, the Cold War, you know, music. So he probably didn't have time to actually like watch movies. So this reference probably would have blindsided him.
Yeah, I mean, he believed it for a second.
Yeah. Really? And then, but clearly Dr. Evil had time to watch these movies because he and Austin both jumped the timeline back in our first film when they went frozen. So Dr. Evil clearly, I guess, during the first or this film, like we were talking about, like maybe they had stuff sent back in time, like magazines and the guns, because we said the guns are like from those machine pistols from the 90s. So. Yeah, maybe he like had a bunch of movies sent back, and like, you know, maybe Scotty, you know, maybe Scotty was like, "Yeah, Dad, these would be like cool movies. We could totally check it out or something."
Well, it's like Austin did, like science and sociology documentaries to get acclimated, and Dr. Evil just watched like blockbusters. Sounds about right.
Yeah, actually, it's not a bad idea. He probably would just get inspired by James Bond movies, and he's probably like, "Oh, you know that bad guy there? He totally messed up. Like, I could have totally done that better." So, do you think like in this universe there are James Bond movies?
Sure, I'm sure there are.
I mean, if anything,
maybe they're not called James Bond. What would they be called?
Well, they could be James Bond. Here's a theory. Austin Powers sells his stories of stopping Dr. Evil to like the movie theaters and then to the movie companies, and then they make, based on his efforts, they make a James Bond movie about it.
But then Dr. Evil is just inspired by himself.
Would you put it past it?
No, not at all.
essentially he is watching a fantastical version of an anecdote that Austin Powers said about him.
The idea that he could do it better than the person on the screen, knowing it, not knowing it was him.
Yeah. All right. Here. Let's do a little timeline ourselves. What's the first scene of Austin Powers? When's that take place? Do we know?
The first 68,
scene.
67? I thought it... Oh, the notes. Are you talking about the movies in general? Like...
The first film, yeah.
International Man of Mystery.
International Man of Mystery. When did the... Yeah, when did the first movie come out? I mean, when did the first movie take place, I should say?
The very beginning of the film. 1967.
Okay, so 1967, Goldfinger's already come out. So the first, he's already had the start of James Bond movies. So it's possible that during the 60s, you know, Austin Powers was selling to pay for his swingers pad. He was selling his stories back to, you know, back to the Broccoli family. And they're making, and or no, he's selling them probably to the guy, Ian Fleming, duh. Ian Fleming probably shadowed Austin. Austin tells him all these crazy stories. And then Ian Fleming's like, man, these stories are so crazy. I'm going to make them even more fantastical. And then writes James Bond stories. And then those stories become the movies. At least in this alternate timeline. I like the idea of like crazy story of Austin Powers gets written, turned into a fantastical film that... Then Dr. Evil watches and says, oh, I could totally do that better. And he's pretty much parodying stories about himself without knowing that it's himself.
That's fair. That it's kind of like something he would do.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you watched a show about a girl with glasses and cats and she keeps falling down and you're like, oh my God, this girl's falling down. She can't manage her cats. And then the producer's like, yeah, we base it off your Instagram stories. And you'd be like, oh,
thanks.
Well,
like I am clumsy and I own cats and make money off of my likeness. Thank you.
Yeah. 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 So there's a paycheck in the mail,
right? Like, do I get residuals? Shit.
Yeah. Based on a true Instagram story.
Yeah. And we could have a new arc where I have to wrestle Zeus and put medicine in his eye for a week. That's this week.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So if anybody decides to write the show, my checks can be made out to Johnny Powers. You can DM me for my actual address. send me those residuals, bitch. Oh, my God. But I'm sure, like, if you just think about, like, how many James Bond movies, if it, in this universe, if it was all Austin Powers, he would be, that's it. He wouldn't even have to be a spy anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he could just get residuals off of his own storylines. I mean, he just does it for duty and country. That's probably why he does it. He's not doing it for paychecks. He's getting the paycheck from Ian and He's getting the movie theater. He's getting all the movie production paychecks. So he just, you know. And also, like, I think he just realizes, like, he can't let anyone else take Dr. Evil. He's got to stop Dr.
Yeah, because who else would want to?
Yeah. I mean, think about it, right? Austin's frozen in the first film. Dr. Evil comes out of freezing. You know, the British Secret Service, you know, MI6, they don't call, I mean, outside of Elizabeth Hurley's character, they don't call like anyone else in to handle this. They're like, we gotta get Austin up. Like, he's the only guy for this job. You know, they have like, who's the secret agent they were working with, you know, a week before they thawed out Austin.
Dr. Evil probably killed him.
Yeah. It's possible. Yeah. Dr. Evil, possibly number two. I mean, Frau could have done it too. You know, Frau could have killed these people.
That's true. I think of her as like their operations manager. She has to keep everything streamlined. I know that that number two is their like finance guy.
Yeah.
But he's not good at saying no to Dr. Evil. And I feel like she's the only one who's good at saying no to anyone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure, you know, number two first tells, you know, when there's a problem, he tells it, you know, financially why it's a good or a bad idea. And then if he meets resistance, he then sends Frau. And then I think Frau either, you know, submits them through yelling, or I, you know, Frau takes out her Luger over here and pops you in the head.
Yep, but she's not a really, I don't think she's that good of a shot.
I mean, it's weird. It's like she shoots a gun out of his hand, which is a super tricky shot because it's like close to Dr. Evil. I would think like if she aimed for Austin in the back or the shoulder, it could be one thing, but she like aimed for like, what I think is the trickiest shot. And then and clearly Dr. Evil's like he's like laughing at it because Austin's not dead and he's now running to go to the the time machine. So congrats, I guess.
I guess that was the end, like I said, the end game is for him to do that, but why? Why is that the end game and not to just kill him right now? All of your troubles would be over.
You got me, Johnny. You got me.
Because Dr. Evil doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. At all.
Well, right. That's what I have for minute 81. I think I feel like I'm warmed up now. Took us a minute to get there, but I'm warmed up.
I'm a little rusty. It's been a while, but she's here. We are. Who knows? Maybe more podcasts will be born out of this weird lockdown that we're a part of.
Oh yeah, I know. I saw a lot of people in the Facebook groups are all like, "Hey, if anyone's hearing this, can we do a recording?" So everyone's clearly cooped up and like, can we talk and just have a podcast recorded?
Please, God, please.
Everyone's got a cabin fever, so yeah. So we do something productive here.
Good on you to the listeners. You're gonna have a lot of stuff to listen to over the next while.
The gal in the with the cat is back.
Yeah. Woo. For now. And then I'll probably throw my hat into the ring to guest a little while we're in this. I don't know how long. You never know. This could be my life now. You could just I can live as a voice on the internet. Oh, man. That's
the worst thing that can happen to someone.
No. Not the worst. But this is only Monday. We do have other days of the week. Mm-hmm. Get excited. You got to come back tomorrow to keep this weird flow chart timeline of Dr. Evil's and Austin's going. So we will add to it. Dave, if you want to plug yourself, live your best life.
Oh, people know they can. People know they can find me over at 5 Minutes of Mystery. I got our Champion City Lakeside Diners Club Facebook group. If they ever want to talk Smash Mouth or Mystery Men, always there to talk.
You know, Smash Mouth, and then the Shrek podcast that will or will not ever happen.
Not if I can help it. Oh no, those Shrek hosts! Something happened to them. Oh no, they had a flat tire. Oh no.
Oh my God. Okay. So if you guys want to hang out with us a little bit longer in this weird dance party that is locked down, come hang out in the Electric Pussycat Swingers Club Facebook group. Drop me a 5-star if you care. That would be lovely. But come back tomorrow so we can figure out what happens with our timeline. But don't forget, stay groovy.